This your girl Simply G, and welcome back to my podcast. Today's episode is called Love and Marriage. And everybody that knows me, that has followed me on social media for a while, knows that my anniversary is coming up. It's actually tomorrow. And this episode is so relevant to a lot of my listeners, because so many people in my cohort, you know, so many people around my age has been getting married lately. You know, may have gotten married 2-3 years after I did. So, you know, this one will be a good one for a lot of people that I know. And hopefully for people that, you know, are silent listeners, can get something out of this. So anyways, I've been married for going on 7 years and counting. Yes, I can say that I am so proud of my husband and myself, because we've been married for going on 7 years, and marriage has been nothing of the horror stories that we hear or the negative things that we hear. And I'm sure that if you are listening and you know me or you know my husband, you can attest to that. Before I go any further, I want to stop and, you know, do a little dance and give a little shout out to my big bae. This episode, I plan to not really so much talk about me and my husband, because, you know, I'm here to educate people. I'm here to give people advice. I'm here to reach people when they feel like no one is there for them. So yeah, this episode is going to be more about a reflection on a marriage, my different stages of marriage, and how I got here. At year 7, I am genuinely happy, and I say that wholeheartedly. My husband, and this may sound cliche, but my husband is a very unique man. He is and should be a model for, and I'm not talking about like a fashion model. He should be a model. I mean, his character, his mannerisms, he should be a model for young men. His story is very unique, and I can't wait to make an episode featuring him to talk about his story, because, you know, I told him he should write a book. And if anyone who knows my husband knew the odds that were stacked against him, they wouldn't believe it. 'Cause my husband is, he's such a gentleman. He's such a manly man. And to all the women that's listening, you know what I mean when I say such a manly man. That man that we crave, that man that we urge, that man that stands up for his family and will put us on his back and carry us by all means necessary. So enough about him. Like I said, this is not going to be too personal, kind of personal, because I'm only speaking from my personal experiences. Before I begin, I do want to apologize for my absence last week. I was under the weather. And as you could tell, my voice, you know, it's not all there yet. It's not all the way back. But I came back to do this one. The special day is tomorrow. So, you know, just to tell you just a little bit about who we are. The intro song by Method Man and Mary J. Blige. That is the song that we played for our recessional. Our recessional song for our wedding. And that pretty much sums it up. You know, family, everybody was there. Young people, babies, old people. And that's the song that we decided to step to as we walked into this life together. We immediately became one, and that song defined us. So I just wanted to add that little snippet. But I want to reflect on my year 6. You know, all of these years in marriage, especially if you don't have that blueprint to go off of, you are the blueprint. Each year means something. And if you've been married, or if you are getting married, or if you've been planning to get married, every year has a theme. And it's so funny for me because the theme of the year was never established before the year. Especially in our early years, I think that now that we're at year 7 or stepping into year 7, we can kind of define those themes ahead of time because we know the temperature, we know the vibe, we know what's going on in our lives. But I think in the beginning, you won't really define that theme until after the year has passed. And after you go through some things and you learn each other, you learn what works and what doesn't work. Excuse me. So I'm going to reflect on my year 6. You know, year 6 was about changes. Year 6 was a transformation for myself and my spouse. You know, year 6 challenged us because if some of you may know who know me, know that my husband and my daughter was living in Louisiana and I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. To separate like that was huge. And it wasn't a separation in a sense of we're breaking up or anything like that. It was a separation with the mindset that we were going to elevate, and we did. To have two houses, living in two different states, over 600 miles apart, and never miss a beat is crucial. Year 6 in this year of transformation, it definitely showed our communication skills. There were some people who didn't know that I lived in another state in a different house. Because I never missed a beat. Like, I never missed a function at school. I never missed a dance recital. I never missed dress rehearsal. And it also depends on the person. You know, I got down and I did what I had to do. I worked over at the hospital. So some days I would get off from work, come home, take a 1 hour nap, and get on the road. Or some days I would get off from work, drive to the airport, and get on a plane. And the ability to do those things so seamlessly is a blessing, because to be able to move around the way that me, my husband, and my daughter did, to keep that nucleus together was a blessing. Because, I mean, financially, that's not easy to do. You know, I mean, if we just, you know, talking about the facts. So I'm blessed that we were able to do that, and I'm blessed that we worked so hard to put ourselves in that position. Yeah, so it also showed our teamwork. Me and my husband, we had to be on the same page. I mean, granted, sometimes we weren't. Sometimes there were a little miscommunication. Those things are expected to happen because no marriage is perfect. And if somebody try to make you think or feel that those things, the lack of those things mean your marriage is horrible or terrible, I mean, they're the problem. It's somebody you don't need to listen to, and that's somebody who you need to keep about your business. But year six was about keeping our family together. And, you know, I know I'm talking about marriage, and I'll make another episode about children, but I got to give a huge shout out to my daughter. My daughter's age go along with our years of marriage, because the year that we got married, I had a baby, and I graduated from college with my first bachelor's degree. And I got married. So all of this happened. Oh, and I had this huge baby shower. And I had this huge bridal shower. All of this happened within a 12-month period. So our anniversary comes with a lot of things. But back to what I was saying. I want to give a huge shout out to my daughter. A lot of people know my daughter from where I'm from. They know her before they know me. And it's because she is such a lovable child. She is a child that when you're in the room with her, you notice her. And I wish my listeners could see her. She's beautiful. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you're just saying that because that's your daughter. Nah, it's not like that. She's definitely an eye catcher in her spirit and her soul. It's so blissful. And sometimes, I mean, it's so blissful that I ask my husband, like, where'd she get that from? As if I'm not a fraction of any of that. But it's truly amazing to get to know my daughter. But anyway, I wanted to give a huge shout out to her because initially this was very, very hard for her. It was very confusing to understand, well, why is there this separation? We're one. But you know, after having a candid conversation with her, letting her know what our goals are, including her in decisions, including her in building goals, I mean establishing goals, she was on the same page with us. So it's been difficult as a child understanding, but I want to give her a huge shout out because she's been handling this like a champ. And now that we're here, where we're gonna be, she's loving it, and she says it's one of the best things that happened to her. So anyways, that goes back to keeping our family together. We knew that we had to incorporate the child just a little bit into what we were doing, just to make it all make sense, make it feel right. So yes, now we're walking into year seven, and year seven is a special year. It's so crazy because the old folks, and I say the old folks because I am a nurse, and so many of my patients, like, they'll see either my wedding band on my hand or my little silicone ring that I wear to work. And then I say, oh, you married? You know, they want to get all in my business. And that's, some things are okay. Because they have that wisdom. They have that time, you know. And I sometimes need somebody to hear what they got to say. I need some of that advice or whatever. So many of my patients will tell me that year seven is a special year. And I mean, these are people who's been married for 30, 40 years. You know, they can write a book about it if they wanted to. But they tell me that year seven is special. And they always say, if you can make it past year seven, you could. But the trip part is, like, no one really defines that year seven. Now that I've made it to year seven, I get it. Years one through six is about establishing all of your personal rules to marriage. And I say rules because there's boundaries, there's limits. There's boundaries to what you will accept and what you will do and won't do. And no one can define that for you. You know, I could talk till the cows come home, but I'm speaking on my personal experiences, you know. Those rules and those boundaries have to come from you and your spouse, whether it be male or female. You know, that's something that y'all have to establish. And I can't say that it's not something that you can sit down, have a conversation with, and make a checklist. These boundaries come with experience. They come with, you know, knowing what to do and not to do, going through some things, learning what makes your spouse happy and what takes them to the left, you know, over the cliff. And a lot of this stuff comes from trial and error. Granted, if you have that blueprint of a marriage within your family, that's a blessing, because that puts you light years ahead of some of us who just is figuring this thing out on our own. You know, so year seven, it's special because from year one through six, you figured it out. And going through that whole figuring it out is tough. It is not for the weak. And if you are not willing to ride with your spouse and understand that some things are going to happen that you're not going to like, but have the ability to accept it, correct it, and not let it happen again, you know, you're going to be okay. So here we go, year seven. I'm going to reflect. You know, I feel like now that we're stepping into year seven, we're in our grown stages. And some of this terminology that I'm using is just off the top of the head, because no two people's story is going to be the same, look the same, or even sound the same. So I feel like now we're stepping into our grown stages, because we've started building our family. So that first child is out the way, you know. We've had material things. We've had the nice jewelry, the dream cars, and the money, and, you know, we've built our first home. So we've had all of that stuff that is that's materialistic, as well as we've had several lots of first. You know, we've been on trips. We've done all of those first things. Granted, there's a lot of, I have a long list of additional firsts that I'd like to tackle. But the important first, we've had them in our marriage. And it's a blessing to have, you know. I wouldn't change a single thing. I would not change a single second of the time and life that I built with my husband. But when I say the growing stages, you know, we're making a shift, and I feel this shift when I really step back and reflect on us as a unit, you know, because me and him, we're one unit. You know, we're making this shift where investments are important, stocks and bonds, and really getting on the same page to make this generational wealth generational. And when I say that, I'm not meaning, you know, my daughter in her kids. I mean, really making some generational wealth to where, you know, things stick around for a while. And, you know, in the beginning of this episode, I talked about my husband's story and how unique it is and how I can't wait to share it with you all. Because that generational wealth for him means so much more. And because I know that, it means so much more to me as well. And his dreams are my dreams. His goals are my goals, and vice versa. So, you know, establishing businesses, successful businesses, because you can start a business. I mean, the pandemic, the last couple of years, people have been starting businesses and left and right. That's all I'm gonna say. And with no intent, just starting a business. And I'm talking about establishing businesses that are going to long-term function without the presence of any of my family members. So listeners who know a little bit about that know where I'm coming from. Also, multiple properties, you know, getting into real estate, you know. So we are making this shift, and this shift is not about material things. It's not about getting on the gram and posting that, you know, I got this new car, or my husband bought me this purse, or we are in this city, or we are in this country. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it, because when I get it, when I do it, I will. But that's not, we're long past that. Like, we're thinking about, you know, how are we going to generate this revenue? You know what I'm saying? If we start this business, you know, being in the red versus being in the black, and how fast can we get there? And what do we have to do? And actually doing it, you know, leaving our mark on this world as a married couple, as a unit, as a nucleus. And my sole purpose in life is about leaving my mark, or leaving our mark on this world. And what are we leaving for our children? What are we leaving for our children's children? And how are we setting them up to have that same mindset as quickly as possible? So that's that. I do want to give, because I've been talking for a while, and like I said, if you've been rocking with me for a while, you know that I don't like to talk long on these episodes. But if you made it this far in the episode, I do want to give just a quick little rundown of some tips that I would leave anybody, whether you are married, like I said, whether you are married, you are getting married, you're planning and hoping to be married soon, or if you're just in a relationship, you know, it's not all always about marriage, because sometimes if you're in a relationship, you can get some of your best advice from married people. And also if you're single, because I'm not going to leave out the single people, because I have met some single people who aren't in a relationship, but they are working on themselves and preparing to get into one. So this is for everybody, you know, all ages as well, because age ain't nothing but a number, you know. I'm laughing because of the song, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so back to the tips. My biggest tip, like, this is my biggest tip. Don't take everything so serious. I'm gonna say it again. Don't take everything so serious. You know why? Because forever is a long time. You know, when you get married, I mean, you really, really up there. You like, you know, this is gonna be forever. You're really, you know, committing to that. Forever is too long to take everything so serious. And I really think that that's been, that tip right there has carried my marriage. Do we take things serious? Hell yeah. Hell yes, we do. But we had to learn that some things matter more than others. And some things are worth addressing. Some things aren't. Like, choose your battles wisely. Stop taking everything so serious. Because forever is a long time. Also, write your own story. Do not compare your spouse or your marriage to anyone else's. Do not compare, because as soon as you start comparing, you're halfway. I just got deflated. As soon as you start comparing yourself to other people, you start to fail. Every marriage is unique. Everyone's spouse is unique. There's something about that person that made you fall in love. There's something about that person that made you want to spend forever together. Okay? And it wasn't the sex. It was something about that person. It wasn't their money. It wasn't their job. And if it was any of those things that I have previously said, like just said, then you're in this for the wrong reasons. And you need to reevaluate yourself. So, don't compare yourself to anyone else. Also, expect that things will happen. I think that if you anticipate certain things, like, and when I say things, I mean like you anticipate that you won't always be on the same page. You will anticipate that sometimes there'll be a little slight miscommunication. Is that the end of the world? No. But it is better when you expect it. And when you expect things, you already think about how you're going to respond. And that gives you time to think about, you know, to get all the crazy, obnoxious responses. Run them through your brain. Run a scenario through your brain. Get it over with so that that does not be your initial reaction. You know. So, yes, expect that things will happen. And you will not always be on the same page. You know, I've heard so many times that marriages and relationships, they come in cycles, or they go through cycles. That's true. Like, that is true. Like, you have your up time, you have your down time, you have your in-between time. And some people say, well, why would you even put up with that? And it's not about putting up with it. It's about, you know, what was your intent to get into this in the first place? You know, what was your intent to not put up with that? Does that weigh more than the fact that you love that person? You want to spend the rest of your life with that person? You want to build things with that person? You want to have a family with that person? It shouldn't. You know, so also, learn each other's love language. This, to me, it's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that really happens in a year. You know, because people love languages are so different. Like, oh, you know, like, it's just, you really have to know that person to know their love language. You know what I'm saying? So learn your significant other's love language. And like, some people's love language is a clean house with Bath and Body Works candles smelling all good through the house. You know, so some people's love language is food, a cook home cooked meal. Some people's love language is a back rub at the end of the day. And, you know, some people's love language is just to sit in silence and enjoy physically being around your significant other or their significant other. So learn each other's love language. And if you do not know what I'm talking about, look it up, please. Because it's important. Next, be patient. Be patient. That's enough said. Next, never stop being friends. Because see, when we got into this, or when you got into this, you were friends. Like my husband, everybody who know me know my husband is my dog. Like that's my dog. And when I say my dog, for people who do not understand Ebonics, that is my best friend. That is my round. You feel me? And I got his back. He got my back. Period. That's my dog. Next is intimacy. And if you've been listening this long, you notice that I haven't said too much about intimacy. But I do wanna say something that's very important about intimacy. That is the reason why so many marriages fail, or so many marriages don't last as long as they could, is we have to understand and we have to expect that our bodies are going to change, okay? That same woman that I was at 21 years old, with no kids, is not the same physically. It's not the same body or look that you're going to have at 45 after two kids. You know what I'm saying? And life. Taking on life. Taking on the day-to-day responsibilities. And it's just not the same. And, you know, it's called aging. Some of us age better than others. Some of us age backwards, which is a beautiful thing. But that's called aging. And when you are married or in a relationship or whatever you want to call it, aging is to be expected. And, you know, aging really brings out your true intent with that person. Because if I start aging, then you'd be like, if I'm aging, then you'd be like, she ain't looking that good to me no more. I'm about to slide over here and see what this be like. You know, no. That mean that your intent was fucked up from the get-go. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. So when you look for a spouse, you find a spouse. You find a spouse for their spirit. You try your hardest to attract yourself to their spirit. You know, you find that something about them that floats your boat. But if you going into, like, 100% into looks and all that, grand opening, grand closing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're done before you even start. So, the next thing is, I got two more things. Respect. Respect, respect, respect. If you have a problem with your spouse, you put forth efforts to solve it. I'm gonna say that again. If you have a problem with your spouse, you put forth an effort to solve it. And when I say you put forth an effort, you jump in the ring and you put your boxing gloves on. And you fight for it. You try to solve it. You know, when you find that you're fighting alone, okay, that's when you have to step out of the ring and then reassess yourself and reassess your relationship to see, you know, what direction are we really going in? Because everybody's not meant to be together. Every marriage is not meant to work. You know, history repeats itself a lot. And I mean, from the beginning of time, marriages have been successful. Some hasn't worked because some people just aren't compatible. But with respect comes keeping people out of your business. And if you need to talk to somebody, go get you some professional help. If you can't afford professional help, for those who have used pastoral services, go talk to your pastor. For those who have used elders in your family as kind of like a marriage counselor, go talk to them. But find that one person or that, you know, one or two people that you can go to and really tell them what's going on. Especially people who has experience, people who is unbiased, people who is going to be honest with you and give you their honest opinion, and people who won't pick sides. You know what I'm saying? That is called respect. When I do have an issue with my husband, I go to my husband. And when my husband has an issue with me, he comes to me. And we talk about it. We chop it up. And once it's talked about, and if it is resolved, it's dead. It's done. I'm not about to carry that into the next minute, because when you find somebody that you truly love, time is precious. But let's say it's not resolved, because my marriage is not perfect. It's not resolved. Okay, well, let's keep working at it. Let's look at where the problem started. And let's say that doesn't work. Okay, now we're going to go to our respective person, have a conversation, tell them what happened, tell them what we've done to try to remedy the problem, and get their advice. Advice is just advice, whether it be professional or someone that you just confide in. Like, advice is just advice. You choose what you're going to do with it. And you work it out. And anytime I find that me and my husband come to a point where we hit a wall, we've always had success with going back to why we started this in the first place. You know, why did we go down this long road? What was it about you? What was it about me? And, you know, that usually helps set us back on track. You know, going back to the root. Like, what was it about you? So, yes. That's all I gotta say. And hopefully you have gained something from this episode. Like I said, my anniversary is tomorrow. We're walking into year 7. And I'm so excited. I am still excited about this thing that me and my husband decided to do called marriage. And I can't wait to celebrate with him tomorrow. Because if you know us, you know we're gonna celebrate. But I can't wait. But I can't wait to see what's in store for us for year 7, because year 7, you know, is a special year. And if I had to do this all over again, I would have done it sooner. I would have, you know, not wasted a second and done this sooner. Because I love it here. And I'm always advocate for marriage. I always advocate for what feels right, what is right, what works. You know, I'm going to do that too. But I'm always advocate for marriage because I love love. I love being in love. I love everything about all of this. So, with that being said, this your girl Simply G. I'm signing out. I do not own rights to the music used in this episode.